Today, we will continue to talk about the restoration of the tabernacle of David. This chapter, today's chapter, discusses the holy days that the Lord has established. They are often called God's appointed times because He chose the day on the calendar when each was to be observed. But before moving on into our chapter, I would like to remind you of what we talked about last week, because I think it's a foundation for us for today. We spoke of the restoration of the fallen tabernacle of David. And I would like to read Amos chapter 9 again so we can remember it. Amos chapter 9 verses 11 and 12. In that day I will raise up David's fallen sukkah. I will restore its breaches, raise up its ruins, and rebuild it as in days of old, so they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations called by my name. It is a declaration of Adonai, the one who will do this. In the book of the prophet Amos, in chapter 9, the Lord makes a promise. He says that in the end times, the fallen tabernacle of David will be restored. It is his promise. The glory of the Lord and His presence will return to Zion, and a spiritual awakening of the Jewish people will take place. And at the same time, with the restoration and repentance of the Jewish people, a spiritual awakening through faith in Yeshua will be poured out through the whole earth. Many people from all the tribes of the earth will come to repentance and faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Today we live in a very special moment in time, a prophetic time, when the Lord is restoring the fallen tabernacle of David. Unfortunately, most of the world is not prepared to recognize and understand this special time. On the one hand, most of the Christianity has wandered far from the Jewish roots of the Bible, observing many traditions which have no Bible foundation. On the other hand, most of Orthodox Judaism has gone far from a biblical faith, the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, focusing rather on traditions, rituals, and the doing of good deeds. Let me give now a brief history lesson, a couple minutes. Messianic Jewish apostles clearly documented what happened to them when they first became disciples of Yeshua and what their lives were like. Going forward from that moment, as they preached the good news to other Jews and to other nations, the Bible is that documentation and supplies the details of the Lord's relationship with the Jews and other across time, and especially during this time of restoration of David's tabernacle. Much of these messages is addressed directly to Jews and was written in the context of events being experienced by the Jewish people of the day. It is very important to remember. Jewish prophets and apostles who wrote Bible used very direct and impartial words. Sometimes it was very direct, describing the states of their people and this calling of God's people to tshuva, to repentance, and a life of service to the Lord. But you know the truth. When the Jewish context is removed from this beautiful documentation, what is left allows many opportunities to misunderstand and seems to have many apparent contradictions. Many scriptures through which the Lord once spoke correction to Israel through the prophets now are conveniently misused by those searching for reason to persecute and destroy the Jewish people. It is a terrible misinterpretation of scriptures. One must always remember that the Lord treats the Jewish people as His firstborn. In much the same way that we raise our children today, As they grow, they make mistakes. Sometimes they make mistakes. It can be very disappointing. And we know they need correction. They may need discipline, for sure. Sometimes we need to discipline our children. So we educate them. We speak truth to them. We deal with their problems. And we try to shape their character. That is a necessary expression of our love towards them, of our desire to see them grow into righteous adults. At the same way, we need to remember, it is very important to remember, that the Lord's relationship with the Jewish people is much like that of a father with his firstborn. Let us bring an example. We see this in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, Jeremiah 31. I would like to read verse 1 and verse 2. Jeremiah 31, verse 1 and verse 2. It is about Israel. Thus says Adonai, the people surviving the sword found grace in the wilderness, where I gave Israel rest. And verse 2, it is the heart of this message. From afar Adonai appeared to me. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. It is towards Israel. The Lord loves us with an everlasting love, forever love, as a father loves his child. The Lord loves his children with perfect love. And you know that history, as a young developing religion, Christianity became alienated from its Jewish roots. It began to claim ownership of the rights to those descriptions, to the blessings God had promised to Israel, and by extension to the apostles and to the Messiah himself. Many people stop seeing Yeshua as a Jewish Messiah and rabbi and begin to see him as a person with a Greek background. Many years ago, I would like to bring an example from my personal experience. When Ina and I were walking on the streets of Jerusalem, it was very difficult and almost impossible to find a Jewish Yeshua there, because everything there showed him as a Catholic, a Greek, an Armenian, a Protestant, and a Russian Orthodox Jesus. Obviously, this non-Jewish Christianity still found much in the scriptures that was completely Jewish, but now had to find a way to explain it. The answer was simply to appropriate it all for themselves, for the Christians. One interesting thing, when Christianity laid claim to God's blessings on the Jews from Deuteronomy chapter 28, they forgot to claim the other side, the curses that might fall on wayward Jews. Yes, but this is a story for another day. We'll talk about next time. So the result is now clear. History has been rewritten. Bible clearly tells us that early Christianity in the time of the apostles appears to be an original movement of the Jewish people. At first, it was Jewish people who came to faith in Yeshua. It is very important to remember. Although its roots lie in Judaism, council after council, priests were forbidden to allow any mention of the Jewish origin, the Jewish Messiah, the Jewish Word of God, the Jewishness of apostles, biblical Jewish holidays. They try to cancel everything good from the Jewish side. As a result, the history of the church and the nature of its origin were rewritten, with deeply tragic consequences for not only the church, but for all society. And those consequences remain to this day. Much was canceled that had prophetic value. Much that was part of God's Jewish educational system, which showed his plans for the future. How tragically sad that for millennia, Christians were denied that divine education and blessings of the Jewish Bible, of the Jewish scriptures. That institution that we call the church instead of being a family and a community of believers, for many centuries became, for the most part, a hierarchical political structure. It began to supply kings to the countries and played a leading political role in the world for many dark centuries. I think it was the result of denying Jewish roots of faith, of denying Jewish scriptures, of denying Jewishness of Messiah, who came from the tribe of Judah. But you know, we live in a beautiful time, an important time, prophetic time. Changes are on the horizon. Today, all over the face of the earth, we are now witnessing tremendous transformation in churches. Right now, today, we see the restoration of an awareness of the richness of the Jewish heritage that has been ignored for so many centuries. It is a prophetic times we live in. And an important part of this restoration is the birth of the Jewish messianic communities. It is a part of restoration, it is the part of prophetic picture from the Lord. We are now engaged in the restoration of the Jewish messianic community, which we read about in the book of Acts. We are rebuilding a community in which Jews and non-Jews can worship together and serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, while maintaining Jewish identity and the Jewish context of worship. We worship and serve the Lord God through His anointed Son, the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua, promised, birthed, slain, risen, returned, interceding at the right hand of the Father. We believe in Yeshua, our Messiah. Through the ministry of the Messianic communities, we show this Messiah to our people of Israel, a Messiah who was sent to the Jewish people, a Messiah who was, who is, and will always be. And His name, Yeshua, the name which the angel revealed to His family, the name which he was called by His parents, His brothers, and all the Jews. The only name by which man can be saved, that name means salvation in Hebrew, Yeshua. The Lord is saving, salvation. I know one interesting truth. Millions around the globe often pray, Jesus, I want to know you as you are. Jesus, I want to know your heart. I want to know who you are. If we are sincere in our prayers, we must remember and know His real name. Truth is, when you pray in the Hebrew name of Yeshua, you will realize over and over again that this is the Jewish Messiah who renewed the Lord's covenant with Israel first and with all the nations of the earth. He's a Jewish Messiah who came according to the Jewish scriptures to save first the Jewish people and rest of the nation around the world. Some people are so used to the name from the Greek that they believe God hears their prayers better when they pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Some people have understood that Jesus had a last name, Christ. His father and mother were Mr. and Mrs. Christ. I heard such an opinion. I remember many years ago, I saw a Sunday school book. It was a very beautiful colored Sunday school book. And there was a question for the children. It is true. I read it by my eyes. I witnessed. Question was, children, when Jesus was young, where did He spend Sunday mornings? And the correct answer was, of course, in the church, because He was a good Christian. However, the apostles and the first messianic believers prayed in the name of Yeshua, and the Lord heard them perfectly and answered, and the demons obeyed, and the diseases went away in the name of Yeshua, the Lord our salvation, the Lord who is saving us, salvation, Yeshua. We need to understand that our privilege and our calling as messianic believers is to live as God's promise for the restoration of the Jewish people, made possible only by Messiah. We see the miraculous fulfillment. Indeed, we see ourselves as the fulfillment of the prophecies of the restoration of the Jewish people. Please consider this. Hebrew, once considered a dead language, has now been restored from oblivion to be spoken by an entire nation. In one day, by a UN decree, United Nations decree, the state of Israel was restored to a part of its historical, God-given territory, giving us the confidence that in time, the fulfillment will be complete. We see the fulfillment of God's promises today, which were spoken through the Hebrew prophets. I want to read Isaiah chapter 66, verse 8, and think about it. For centuries, people read this place of scripture without knowing how it happened. But now we live in the time of restoration, in the prophetic times. Isaiah 66, verse 8. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Can a land be born in one day? Can a nation be brought forth at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. It is a prophetic picture. And today we live in this time. We as the Jewish Messianic community participate in the fulfillment of God's most important prophecies related to the spiritual restoration of the Jewish people. Restoring Israel's relationship with God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through Yeshua the Messiah. It is the most important part of the restoration of the Jewish people. And we can be part of this restoration, belabor on this work. How important it is to know that Yeshua did not come to establish a new religion. We need to remember that. He came to cut a new covenant with his people and through his people to share this covenant with all nations of this earth. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And through the house of Israel and house of Judah, all the nations of the earth on the earth can have entrance to the presence of the Lord, to this covenant. And it's so it happened. God created his people, gave them laws, promises, various forms of sacrifice, all of which testified to the coming of the Messiah, in whom even non-Jews will have hope. Therefore, today the Lord is restoring thousands of Jewish messianic communities and synagogues around the world. It is a miracle. This took a form of a movement. That is a global transformation in the body of Messiah and in society. I want to congratulate us. Our goal, our idea, the Lord restored us as a messianic movement, as a messianic congregation, as a messianic synagogue, because we are a bridge between two banks, the Jewish world and the non-Jewish church. For Israel, we are Jews who are believing Yeshua. Are believers in Yeshua. For the church, we are believers in Yeshua, and at the same time, we are Jews. This faith unites the Messianic Jewish community and the Christian world, which is the gathering of believers from different nations who join Israel through the Jewish Messiah, through Yeshua. The Lord is our salvation. Together, believers in Yeshua from both the Messianic Jewish community and from the Christian church make up the Ecclesia, the body of Messiah. So now let's look, this is the history, and now let's look in the Bible, in the scriptures, and let's look at Romans chapter 11, verse 25 and verse 26. And let's dig deeply here. So Romans 11, verse 25 and verse 26. It's a very interesting place of scripture. It So it is letter to Romans who are not Jews. So it is very important to remember this was the non-Jewish part of the body of Messiah at that time. So Paul, verse 25, Romans 11, 25. For I do not want you, brothers and sisters, to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own eyes, that a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer shall come out of Zion. He shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Last time we talked about this promise, all Israel shall be saved. Today, I would like to take one interesting word here. It said here that partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. This word, the fullness. In Greek, this word sounds as pleroma. Pleroma, which can be translated from Greek as fullness, completeness, fulfillment. It is not about a number of Gentiles. It is about inside of Gentiles, in Gentile world. It's about inner state. We can find the same word in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23. And I would like to read because it will give us the picture. What does it mean, fullness? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. God placed all things under Messiah's feet. Remember that. All things under Messiah's feet. And appointed him as head over all things for his community, for us, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So this word, which is his body, the fullness of him, this word fullness, the same word pleroma, as it is in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, fullness. In the context of the entire 11th chapter of the Apostle Paul to the Romans, if we will see all context of this scripture, we can see that fullness is the restoration of the Jewish component in the body of Messiah. The right understanding, the right theology, the right heart of the Gentile community towards the Jewish people, restoration of the Jewish roots in the community of believers. This means fullness, pleroma, to the body of Messiah. It means the maturing of God's community by accepting the Jewish roots of faith as a very important and fundamental part of its relationship with God. This is why I said about the name of Yeshua, because it is a Jewish name. God, our salvation. Yeshua, our salvation. When people who believe in Jesus understand the Jewish roots of faith and make that understanding a part of their daily life, then, according to Romans 11, chapter 11, verse 25, then fullness comes. And then great salvation of Israel will come too. Very interesting. And with the arrival of that fullness, people from other nations become like Ruth, accepting and knowing and living by faith in the God of Israel. And Ruth, it's a very interesting person in the scriptures. I would like to read from the book of Ruth, chapter 1. And if you have scriptures, please open with me and consider Ruth as a messianic believer, and somebody who come to the messianic congregation from other nations of the world. Ruth 1, verse 16. Ruth replied, "Do not plead with me to abandon you, to turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May Adonai deal with me and worse, if anything but death comes between me and you." This is the time for the Christian church to raise and to stood with Israel, to pray for Israel, to bring salvation, to bring Yeshua back to Israel. Not the Greek God, not the Greek understanding of Greek Jesus or an Orthodox Russian Orthodox Jesus, or but Yeshua, the Messiah of Israel. What a powerful and prophetic statement from Ruth, who was a Moabite woman. Do you remember that the Lord commanded, do not accept Moabites in the community of the Lord forever? But because of her decision and her faith, she became not only a grandmother of the great King David, but a cherished member of the lineage of Messiah Yeshua. What a revelation. Ruth, the Moabites, is another example of this messianic bridge between non-Jews and Jews, so that both can enter to worship in the tabernacle of David, even as they did in ancient time. How wonderful is that our community consists of Jews and non-Jews as a fulfillment of the word of God for all peoples of the earth. We have a unity between each other. And to demonstrate that salvation is available to all peoples of the earth. We have a wonderful congregation, a beautiful picture. Today, many people ask themselves the question, how to restore what was destroyed and lost over the generations? How to return to fullness, to the pleroma? So one of the important and practical answers we find in today's Torah chapter, this is not all the answers, but one of the very important and practical, really practical answer. Through the return to the Jewish roots of the faith, and a large part of the roots of the Jewish roots is in the feast of the Lord. So let us read from today's Torah chapter, and we'll speak about holidays, about times from the Lord. So Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1 and 2. Then Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Bnei Israel and tell them, these are the appointed times, Moadim in Hebrew, of Adonai, which you are to proclaim to be holy convocations, my feasts. Again, Moadim in Hebrew. The meeting place and time cannot be changed. I would like to say one more time. First, here in this place of scripture, there is no word as Jewish holidays, because they are the Lord's holidays for all the peoples of the earth. The Lord describes his holidays as Moadim. The word Moed has a number of meanings that are more appropriate to describe a business meeting than a holiday. It can be described as an appointed time, or appointed date, or appointed meeting, or appointed place, or meeting place. You know why? Because he is the king. He appointed a time. We arrive on time to meet with him. And you know, we had better be there on time. It is very important for us. The Lord clearly outlined his position regarding the special times when the children of Israel should come before him. It can be said in another way. God's holidays are the official days of reception, the dates by which mankind verifies its position. We do not have the right to cancel what the Lord has established forever. At these times, the Almighty calls us to test our hearts for joyful service to Him. The Lord checks the condition of our hearts over and over every year, at special times appointed by him. The general approach to God's feast described in Psalm 100. I would like to read 100, verse 1 through verse 5. A psalm of thanksgiving. Shout joyfully to Adonai, all the earth. Serve Adonai with gladness. Come before his presence with joyful singing. Know that Adonai, he is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Praise him, Bless his name. For Adonai is good, his love and kindness endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Our remembrance of the history of the Jewish people connects those ancient generations with us, with people living in the 21st century. To this day, Jews across the face of the earth unite at these appointed times, these certain days of the year, in the annual observation of God's appointed times. The rabbis, explaining the meaning of the biblical Jewish holidays, said that besides the fact that God reveals his will and himself through them, their essence and difference from holidays of other nations is that believers in the God of Israel do not just remember events from the distant past, do not just perform mitzvot or commandments. They relive what they celebrate again and again. This is a major point. And yet another significance of those appointed times, which the rabbis may have overlooked, is that they also point forward. The main theme of the appointed times is future salvation and deliverance. They are historic and they are prophetic. They narrate the past and they foreshadow the future. They have a foundation and they have a fullness of time. In short, God's appointed times are central to God's university. They are God's incredible teaching tools which increase our understanding. Even as we experience that what we celebrate, the love of God towards his people. In a few words, I want to show the main prophetic meaning of the biblical Jewish holidays, because this is the dial by which all the humanity lives. This is the clock of the universe. So let us briefly go through the holidays. First, Pesach, the exodus from Egypt through the saving blood of the sacrificial lamb. Pesach indicates the atoning death of the Lamb of God for all of humanity and the release of every believer from the slavery of sin and death. Shavuot, the second feast, Pentecost. In Jewish tradition, it was the day when the tablets were given on Sinai. It is a harvest festival in Israel. It was the time when the priest shook the offering of sheaves before the face of the Lord. Indicates the bringing of first fruits to the Lord, the descent of the Holy Spirit on the disciples of Yeshua, and the birth of the first messianic community on earth. These are two Moadim that we observe in the spring. These spring feasts are observation of prophetic events that were fulfilled thousands of years ago. And for those who think that holidays are not important, please think about why they are important to the Lord. Yeshua was crucified on Pesach, and that event ushered in a new period, a messianic era for us. The Holy Spirit descended right on Shavuot in Jerusalem, and the great miracle happened. The Lord descended into the hearts of people. He wrote his Torah, his instruction, on their hearts and on our hearts too. It is no coincidence that Yeshua was slain on the same day as the sacrificing of the Passover lamb in Egypt. Or that he rose, the first fruits of those who are raised from the dead, on the same day as the Israelites come up out of the Red Sea. It was at the same time. The day on which, according to tradition, Moses received the Torah from God, is the same day on which the Spirit descended upon the 120 in the upper room. It is very important to remember. The final three Moadim are called the fall feasts. We haven't yet seen their prophetic fulfillment. It will happen soon. But we should know which day of the biblical calendar to expect it. Remember, please, after all, God works by his calendar. We now live in the end times, the last days, as we await their fulfillment, because they will close out the current age and all will be made new. the first fall festival, Rosh Hashanah, first of the fall feasts, the festival of the Shofar Blessed, the New Year, the beginning of the Days of Judgment. The prophetic feast will be fulfilled when Yeshua comes to this earth a second time as a judge and king with the sound of shofars and heavenly trumpets. The second, Yom Kippur, points us to the coming judgment of God over all the nations of the earth. It will be at this time that every person who lived on earth will receive a sentence corresponding to his deeds and his life. For those who have lived a life without faith, eternal torment. For the righteous who are redeemed by the sacrifice of Yeshua, the eternal justification and mercy of the Lord. And the last holiday of Sukkot, in which all people are commanded to live 7 days in the tents. Every Jew who walked in the desert with Moses looked through the roof of his sukkah and was able to see a pillar of God's presence above Israel. Prophetically, this holiday points us to the book of Revelation. And I would like to read Revelation 21, verse 1 and verse 4. Actually, I would like to read 3 and 4, two verses. Revelation 21, 3 and 4. I also heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling of God is among men, and he shall tabernacle among them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them and be their God. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, nor shall there be mourning or crying or pain any longer, for the former things have passed away." This is Shavuot. This is the Lord lives with us. We are waiting for this time. The last words I would like to share with you, and this is in my heart about not only about the holidays, but also about restoration, about Tabernacle of David. The very important part and commanding to all of us, serve to the Lord with all your heart. Serve to the Lord with all your heart. We are saved, called, cleansed, changed, redeemed for one purpose, to serve him, to be his hands and feet, his priests on this earth. Chapter Leviticus, today's Torah chapter, Leviticus 22, verse 20. "But whatever has a blemish, you are not to present, for it will not be acceptable on your behalf." It is no secret that our spiritual growth depends on whether we serve with our gifts. It depends on whether we serve with an attitude of submission and obedience. It depends on whether we serve God with joy and gratitude. Serving the Lord is not a burden, not a favor to God. It is an honor, a privilege, a joy, and the meaning of our lives. Therefore, we cannot serve carelessly, because everything we do, it is for the Lord. Reading the scriptures, we see that every little thing is important to the Lord. He accepts the best, the first fruits of our lives, not what is left at the end. He is the perfect Lord, and therefore accept the perfect sacrifice. And this is why before God gave instructions about the feast of the Lord, before talking about days when the Israelites came into the Lord's presence in the temple, he gives clear instructions regarding how they should come and how their hearts should be prepared. Thank you so much for your attention. I believe it is a very interesting time, and we need to think about restoration of Tabernacle of David. And in the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider to be a blessing to Beth Israel. I will close with Aaron blessing, as we normally do at Beth Israel. So let us pray together. Let us pray together. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Issa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Shabbat shalom, Mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.